It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
And we have on line one, we've got Tom Madigan in Billings. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. How we doing? Hope you had a very lovely Christmas.
You too, sir. What's going on?
Well, I don't know if this is going to be the woke minute of the day, but, you know, I've lived in Montana my whole life. I've been in politics for a while, but what I need is I need Republicans here in Montana and everywhere to realize that your silence, I consider that submission. We want politicians to understand that America first is the only way. And here in Montana, we need representatives and senators to stand up, reduce taxes, quit thinking about their next elections. We don't care about your next elections. We don't care about convention of states right now. We need representatives and senators to work for we the people of Montana. Your next election is not going to happen. If you fail by screwing up our budget, that's unacceptable. Your tax bills, unacceptable. I don't need squishy Republicans. That's unacceptable. They need to do their job or Montanans will move them aside. They need to do their jobs for we the people of Montana. We don't need to, we need lower crime. We need lower taxes and a better way of life. This is what Montana was built on, you know, and Montanans deserve all that. They need to figure it out or we will remove them from office. Do their job or leave. Quit listening to lobbyists. Listen to the taxpayers. We're not messing around anymore. God bless and have a happy new year.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
We had that little, well, we're going through another system there. We had to go, had to switch headphones right there. But yeah, I think he's singing our tune right there, isn't he? I think he's singing all of our tunes. And that we've come to a point now where we've let this go on for 20 years, and we keep thinking this time Lucy is going to let us kick the football. You know, we're Charlie Brown, where we continue as every election. Next time, we'll get them next time. We'll get them next time, guys. And I think people have just had enough. And like we said in a previous segment, they're going to lose the midterms really badly, and they could lose a lot of legislative seats here in Montana badly because people will just be demoralized. Your Republican base and conservative base would just be demoralized, and you know what they do when they do that? They just sit home. They just don't vote. I think, you know, they're not going to be real loud out here and calling you names and all that stuff. They're just not going to vote. Well, hey, we have got the great, the one and only, the legendary Greg Franks here in the studio, and he will be coming up next after the break. I know he's got a lot of stuff on his mind that he wants to get to right off the bat, and we'll see in a second.
December 30th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Bicarbonate of Soda Day, also known as baking soda. The fine white powder has so many uses, from cleaning to absorbing odors in your refrigerator to baking cookies and cakes. On this day in 1809, wearing masks at balls in Boston is prohibited because people there believed it was detrimental to morals. John E. Hoover changes his name in 1918 to J. Edgar Hoover. He was appointed director of the Bureau of Investigation. The FBI's predecessor in 1924 was a key player in founding the FBI in 1935. He was the director for 37 years until he died in 1972 at the age of 77. In 1924, Edwin Hubble announces the existence of other galactic systems. The Hubble telescope was later named after him. Born on this day, Fox TV star Sean Hannity, born in 1961. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
I'm it.
Big topics, big ideas, Big Sky, Montana Talks.
Hey, we are back here, and we've got in the studio, live and uncut, we've got Greg Franks, all around town, luminary and political genius. That is a self-described term that he's...
You say luminary. I went to the Luring Center in Laurel School District, so I'm going to have to go look up what that word means.
But I know, you've been in politics for a very long time, and you're like me, too. Even though you're out of the game now, you continue to follow it minutely. So you're a great guy to have comment on all the stuff going on today. And I know you had some comments you wanted to talk about Ilhan Omar and her husband and this venture capital firm over there in Minneapolis.
Yeah, Rose Lake, what is it called? Regardless, the firm that they set up, and they have all these Democrat politicians, i.e. our own very own Max Baucus is on, and he's on the skim on this, receiving some funding. And you'd mentioned it yesterday. You told me that that they scrubbed their website, and a lot they're just kind of erasing the books. But this level of fraud of the Somalians, and that's going on in not only Minnesota, but now they're exposing it in Ohio. This isn't just in those two states, and it's not just with Somalians. The issue is that this fraud is systemic through the entire political and governmental systems, through the NGOs, and this way that the Democrats and the establishment in Washington, D.C. has established a mechanism to fund their cause, and you could argue the fact that it's funding the cause for the destruction of this nation. And so you sit there, well, who are in these dark rooms and in the shadows lurking all this? Well, quite frankly, it's the age-old adage. It's the love of money is the root of all evil, and these people are searching for more money, lining their own pockets, and, you know, that's the thing that, you know, a lot of people are sitting there that can't put their finger on it, because it's not just a single politician. It's the entire system, and, you know, the more accountable we make our elected officials, and the more that we expose this, and certainly I hope that Trump administration is going to do this, and people, I mean, we've just been sitting back and waiting for the last year. People need to go to jail. And people need to be prosecuted. And the American people need accountability, because if we don't get accountability, there's going to be significant consequences. And they will push us into a direction to where none of us want to go. I mean, you hear talk of civil war, you're talking about nobody wants to do that, because I think we can solve this more pragmatically. But, you know, there's going to reach a breaking point where the American people just are done with it.
I take no pleasure in telling everyone that we called this back in May. And if you remember back in May, you're talking about, why is this stuff not being investigated and it's pervasive and it's across both parties. Back in May, you remember that famous blow up, and it was widely reported between, I guess, Bongino and Pat Bondi. I guess they had some kind of shouting match, and it was never revealed what it was about. But when we heard about that, you know, because I've listened to Dan Bongino for so many years, I kind of think I know him. I have a little bit of insight into his personality. We said back then, this is the indication that they're not going to do what we expect them to do. And Dan Bongino, because he is independently wealthy and famous and all this, if he sees with the passage of time that none of this is actually going to happen, he's going to split, man. He don't need this job. It's a hardship for him. And sure enough, that's what happened.
Yeah, you know, I certainly hope not. I think that, you know, my contention was through the summer is that, you know, it takes time to build cases. It takes time to build a criminal profile on it. And I was really hoping something would happen probably during the August recess. And you did see a few things drop with the indictments of James Comey and a few others. But you're seeing the liberal judges just tossing those out. And I understand the listening audience here on Aaron's show, the frustration that y'all have. But, you know, let's not be disheartened. There's still a lot of great things going on in this nation, and there's a lot of opportunities that we can participate and continue this correction that's much needed.
Blake, you were just saying about this NGO infrastructure of organized crime, and that's what it is. Because these people, every day of the week, they are committing crimes with this. They are committing fraud. They're committing wire fraud. They're probably embezzling it. I mean, you could take these people down easy peasy any day of the week. And see, you're talking about how it takes time. See, I guarantee you what Dan Bongino had that initial blow up with Pam Bondi about is the thing that takes time is, first of all, you've got to get clearance from up on high, you know, from the Prince of Darkness herself, to go after certain political targets and getting certain permissions to do certain cases, certain task forces here and there and everywhere, because I know that because that's what I did for 30 years. And that's what was going on, is they were trying to get those go-aheads, get those thumbs up, and they were told no.
Yeah, you're probably right. And, you know, from my experience in being involved in politics, I haven't worked in the field since 92, been involved volunteer-wise since. But
wait, but you told me you were 35. What's up with that?
No, thank you. Appreciate that. It's not the years, it's the mileage. Trying to figure out how to exactly go into this topic, but I can tell you, I think a lot of the fraud and the abuse started particularly during the Clinton years, and the perfection of it started to materialize through the lobbying industries and the infiltration into the government systems and accessing government dollars. I had a friend of mine that was actually in my house. He was working for an elected official in the state. And he was very well connected with a known lobbyist in Washington, D.C. In fact, he left his office, came to work in Montana. And I, even in my own kitchen, I heard some of these conversations that, you know, what this elected official should do because he needs some money is his wife should start up a nonprofit.
Oh, my God.
And this is a Republican lobbyist, who was a Republican lobbyist. And that way that they can start lining their pockets in order to help offset the cost of their low wages in Washington.
And that was how many years ago?
That was in probably 2003.
Oh, my. And it has just spiraled even worse and more expensive since then.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. The new year is coming, and so are some new rules and laws about firearms, especially in states where gun control is on the agenda. Illinois' new law coming on the books on January 1st is one that could seriously impact families. The Illinois Safe Gun Storage Act requires firearms in the home be locked up when minors, even older teens, are present in the home, unless the owner of the firearm is carrying it on their person, again within their home. While its supporters, like Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, who signed it, say it will increase safety for children, the law's detractors say it leaves open the possibility that a minor or even an at-risk adult who enters the home could make the gun-possessing homeowner non-compliant without even knowing. And violations of this Illinois law could cost a gun owner $10,000 in fines. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
We're back here with Greg Franks. I didn't talk to him about this topic at the break because I'm going to pull an Aaron Flint on him right here. Aaron does this to me all the time. He waits for the live show to throw a topic at me because he wants to get my unvarnished reaction. And it plays right into everything we were already talking about. We're talking about the NGOs and the fraud and all that. Well, what has been the biggest point in the last couple of weeks are these child care daycare centers there that were being obviously scammed to the tune of billions of dollars by the Somalis there in Minnesota. What comes out yesterday on the New York Post that Mamdani, the new-to-be Kami Mamdani mayor of New York City, along with Governor Kathy Hochul of New York, they've got a, guess what, multi-billion dollar plan for universal child care in New York City.
Well, I have not seen that. If I did see the headline, I glazed over it. But I'm not surprised. I think that, you know, I read a book this last summer called The Wolves of K Street, which talks about the lobbying mechanism in Washington. And it was quite a fascinating evolution of to where the lobbying movement has grown. And the searching for all those dollars. And we wonder why the federal government has grown excessively over the last couple decades. When Reagan first took office, his first budget was like $800 billion. he left office, it was just, it was $1.6 billion. And you're just seeing the growth and the growth of government, and it's because of all of our tax dollars are out there for people to take and for people to spend and for people to profit off of. And so they clearly saw that this example in Minnesota and Ohio and maybe even here in Montana, they're seeing this example, particularly due to the fact that Ilhan Omar introduced legislation to reducing the restrictions and the oversight of these child care facilities and the food subsidies that these people are getting. And so it's rife with fraud to where it allows for people to come in there and take advantage of not only the system, but the American taxpayers, and we wonder why we're $40 trillion in debt. I mean, this rapid growth of government spending and this abuse of power that's our American tax dollars, the working American men and people, and we're wondering why people get disenfranchised by the system because they don't seem to have a voice. And we had Tom talk right at the very top of the hour here saying that, you know, these people better start voting according to their constituents and the taxpayers in the area. And I've often said, you know, I think congressmen and senators should be able to vote from their home districts. Now, this is pre-COVID. I said this right after 9/11. And the reason why I've always said that is, one, you get them out of Washington, D.C., where they're walking down the halls and going to the fancy restaurants where lobbyists are slapping them on the back, where they have to walk down Main Street. And with the technology, with video teleconferencing, with Zoom, Teams, and with the remote ability to vote, I think the closer you can get your representation and your government to the people, the better accountability it's going to be.
You think that would change their ideas about how they would vote if they were back home and had to face people immediately after a vote?
Yeah, I mean, not even after the vote, but as the legislation's going. But even some of these, I mean, they're changing things. Johnson's changing some things where you're just not slammed down this bill and you have like 2 hours to read the damn thing. But, you know, there's still these massive, ominous bills that they push through, and they do that as intentionally so that there's so much packed into there that it's always at the last minute ditch. And we might be running into another one of these things at the end of January when the next continuing resolution comes over. And it just seems like like timeline after timeline where we have to get this solved. But getting back to the point to where you brought this up, the New York Post article, is this is systemic. I mean, Stacey Abrams, look at the – I mean, she opened an account with $100 in Georgia. $100 in Georgia, and pretty soon she's getting a $1 billion grant from the federal government. You're seeing this with countless number of people that are run. And then we find out what last week, there's 380,000 fraudulent votes identified in Macomb County last year. And so you and I have talked about this before. And, you know, you say, you know, you and I said, well, it's conspiracy theories. Well, you say because of your background, once conspiracy theories start coming to true, we all knew that election in Georgia was stolen.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I saw a video. My good friend John Graves, who does A Million Voices, he was also the guy that did the micro-targeting for Trump in 2016. He's been on Aaron's show a few times. And he's the reason why Trump won Pennsylvania. He went out there, registered the Amish votes, and he did the identification of turning these people out. And John was over at my house in 2021, post-2020. And he's showing my kids video footage long before 2,000 mules of this woman going to multiple polling stations with boxes of ballots. He says, I know through her cell phone data how many ballot boxes she went to. I says, I have only estimations of how many ballots that she dropped up. But she's bringing bankers' boxes into this. And so it's not just one issue. And this is what makes it so frustrating for us citizens out here. It's not just one issue. It's a multitude of issues of the corruption and the violation of the taxpayers and the citizens of this nation. And we have to expose these frauds. We need, even if this fraud is occurring on our side of the aisle, even if there's Republicans on the side of this, these people need to be held accountable, and the American people must demand it.
And why are we in this hole? We've talked about this quite a bit. Is everybody has to understand that you had 8 years of Barack Obama, and then Trump's first term from 2016 to 2020 was mostly, by and large, stolen from him. All that was really a pause, just a 4-year pause in the communist march forward, because he was hamstrung by saboteurs and impeachments and special counsels, and bigger than anything, the advisors around him that were always telling him the wrong thing to do, the deep state uniparty solution to it all. So what do you add that all up? You've got 16 years of pretty much consistent, continual communist rule in this country. And now the Trump administration is faced with doing 16 years of unraveling in 4 years.
Well, you often start off at the Obama years. And, you know, I think it goes back far beyond that. It goes past even the Clinton years. But I think the timeline with the Clinton change, and you can see this with the Clinton crime family and their foundations and the fraud that was involved in Haiti, and that with the Clinton Foundation, the amount of money that they're able to draw from that. And you go into the email scandal with Hillary Clinton. Nothing's done. Everything gets swept under the rug. And this is happening time and time again. And as I was saying earlier, unless there's some accountability, the American people are going to have, there's going to be a reaction, and it might not be the direction they want. Most people, as we've said, I think when I was here 2 weeks ago, is that most people just want to live their lives. They want to live their lives, raise their children, pay their taxes. I don't want to pay my taxes, but I do anyway. But they want to live their lives, and they don't want to get involved in politics. But that's the thing. We've had 40 years of people, good people, not getting involved and not being active. And this is the type of representation we get, because they pass that responsibility off to the lobbying structure instead of holding their elected officials accountable, instead of recruiting good candidates. This is the thing that John Graves with a Million Voices really is focused on. He's focused on getting conservative Catholics and evangelicals out to vote. The number of conservative Catholic and evangelicals that do not turn out to vote is astounding. I had a local pastor down at the Cigar Lounge yesterday, and I brought this very subject up, and he agreed with me. It's because the church and the church leaders have failed to engage their congregations in having them vote according to Scripture. And if they vote according to Scripture, and they recruit, and some of the people, the parishioners and the congregation actually run for office, we'd have a much better representation in our elected bodies than we do today.
And you see, that certainly goes on out there in, like, say, the black churches, the Muslim mosques, all that. They are certainly out there preaching the gospel of leftism, and y'all need to go vote this way. But our people, the Christian sects out here, and the ones that tend to be more conservative, our guys stay away from that. I heard a guy explain that to me one time, and it kind of makes sense, but we really are past that. You've got to be out here. Now, you're not going to get up there and have a Tim Sheehy sign in front of the pulpit while you're speaking in church, obviously.
Can't do that.
But you're going to have to be speaking about these conservative values that are written in the Bible, and how all of y'all need to, if you believe in all of this, you need to go out and vote accordingly.
You do. You have to be accountable. And the issue is with it that by engaging, I'm going to back up. I'm sorry. My mind was chasing around too many circles here. We go all the way back into the moral majority that largely Jerry Falwell and how they claim that they won the 1980 election for Reagan. I'm not going to say that they didn't participate in it, but you've heard me talk about Frank Whetstone and the way that he organized the entire Western United States precinct by precinct and was able to secure the delegates needed for that. But the moral majority was an effective threat. You even saw Jimmy Carter come out and claim that he was a born-again Christian. I don't know if he was or wasn't. But you saw that happen during the 70s and so forth, because that movement was palpable, because these people were engaged, and a lot of that was just because of the time period that we're in. But if the Christians do not get involved, I mean, I've known this for countless times. I've been involved in politics since I was in my teens. I even did some stuff when I was even before that. And I'd have these guys, these business owners in the city come to me at church, and they says, so what's going on in politics in this? And I'd tell them, and I'd be all energetic about it. And you know what? I'd invite them to a fundraiser for a congressman to come to. Nope, can't do that. And so as I said 2 weeks ago, we are the problem. The voters are the problem. You can sit there and point our fingers at these elected officials and the big boogeymans in Washington, D.C., and these big NGOs and everything else. But it's the American people, if they were involved, if they were active, and they made sure that their elected officials, not only in Washington, D.C., but locally, were held accountable, and they represented the overall values of this nation and their districts, you would not be seeing this level of fraud and this level of government corruption.
You know, my father used to do, after he retired, when he retired, he had a huge friend and, you know, professional circle that he could tap. And that's what he would do coming up to election, you know, that October, you know, that whole month. He would just stay on the phone the whole time with all of his friends and associates and say, did you vote? Did you vote yet? Did you vote yet? Oh, okay, well, you go vote. I'm going to call you you here in a week and you're going to tell me that you voted, right? Okay, bye-bye. And that you're mobilizing everybody in your friend circle. And by God, when you get the thing in the mail, when it comes to you in the mail, you don't even have to go to a polling place anymore. It comes to you in the mail. How hard is that? Open the dang thing, fill in the oval, and put a stamp on it.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flynn.
We've got some breaking news that Greg Franks just had pop up on his phone about the L.A. fires. What's up with that?
So, yeah, a friend of mine that's involved in a lot of natural resource issues nationally and policy, he said this is just breaking today, and it's in the City Journal. I don't know where that's exactly at. But the statement is on almost coming up to the annual anniversary for the L.A. wildfires. They could have stopped the L.A. wildfires. Fires, but the California rules made them save plants instead. So by trying to save the plants, they allow these wildfires to ravage and kill the plants. It's like the salp or whatever that fish is that they're supposedly having, where they want to tear down all the dams and not allow the agriculture to grow plants and grow production. I mean, some of the most productive agricultural land in the world. The environmental rules and the mistakes that the California leadership has made is another case in point how they destroyed thousands of lives and billions of dollars worth of damage that you and I are paying for as taxpayers.
Leftism destroys everything it touches. And I think it's intentional, because you see it mostly nowadays. You're seeing it in these very, very important positions, critical positions inside our government, to include chiefs of police, heads of law enforcement agencies, heads of fire departments, like we saw in L.A. And you saw Mamdani is appointing this lesbian who's never been a firefighter now to be head of the most prestigious fire department in the country, the New York Fire Department. They don't want the job done, and it's all about bullying. They're going to bully all of you. And they're going to bully all those firefighters underneath her, because they want all of them to quit so they can hire more people that look like her. But see, the danger of it is, everybody has to understand that where this will get to, and it's already there in some areas, is that means forget about the fire department putting out fires anymore. Forget about the police coming to protect you anymore. You know who the police are going to be? They're going to be your guys from TSA. That your TSA people are going to be your police out here when you call for help. How much help do you think they're giving you?
Well, you know, the police has always been my primary business. I've had most of my life has been in loss prevention and security applications. And the police are generally a very reactionary force. It's after the event, and they're the investigated arm of it. Rarely, if you're going to have a criminal event happen, that there's going to be a cop immediately in the area. Now, there might be an off-duty police officer there, but most of it's reactionary. So the thing is that I love that sheriff from Florida. Arm yourself. That tells us the Floridian citizens, arm yourselves. If there's looting or anything going on, the looters are going to get shot. But I want to go back to California and these bad decisions, because quite frankly, this is the direction I think they want the entire country to go. And you could say it's a concerted effort by politicians. You could say it's more of a spiritual realm as far as the assault on the American way of life. But you want to look at examples. You go into Minneapolis. You go into L.A. You go into all these liberal bastions of leadership that left-leaning leadership has provided, and you look at what's going on. They're paying as much as $5 or $6 a gallon for fuel in L.A. right now in California. There's a place in Oklahoma that paid, it's under $2 in Oklahoma right now. We're under $3 here in Montana. And you're looking at these liberal policies and these agendas that they're pushing through. They pushed through so many wild environmental regulations in California, the refiners are pulling out of the state. Chevron just closed a plant that they put a couple billion dollars in a few years ago to adhere to their environmental regulations. They finally just said, no mas, we are done. And so the California citizens are paying $5 a gallon. And you're seeing company after company, and you're seeing the mass migration of people trying to get out of California, which is a beautiful state, but has been governed by liberal leadership for so long. And Republican leader, you could throw Arnold Schwarzenegger, you could throw Pete... I can't think of the...
I know you're talking about, yeah.
Does it Domenech? Yeah, Pete Domenech, was it? I think it was. Pete Domenech, governor. Anyway, all these Republicans that don't go for it and say, these are the things, and fight against this. And you're seeing a destruction of what used to be the seventh largest economy in the world of California because of these wacko environmentalists. In fact, there's legislation that the California Assembly, somebody in the California Assembly introduced this last year because they knew these refiners are going to pull over, that the state of California now will run these refineries.
Ask them how that worked out in Venezuela, because that's exactly what they did with Chavez. They came in and basically nationalized, you know, the oil companies down there. You know, that lasted a couple of years. And you know what happened? They had to end up calling back up to the states, and because they completely looted the place and destroyed it, and now they weren't getting any oil revenue anymore.
One of the richest nations and natural resources in the world is Venezuela. And they have to ship their oil and their crude somewhere else to be refined, and they have to have their fuel shipped back to them. They don't have any refining capacity. Where they Exxon was there, Chevron was there. Do you remember when Obama shut down all, or what was the platform oil rig disaster in the Gulf of Mexico? And Obama line item to shut that down, and they shipped all of these offshore drilling rigs. Do you know where they went? They went off the coast of Venezuela, off the coast of Brazil. And you know how hard it is to get those rigs back? That's why there hasn't been much offshore drilling going on in that area in the Gulf since then, because it costs so much money to ship those. And once those vessels leave, they don't come back.
But the world runs on oil. Everything that we are about in our economy runs on the petrodollar, period.
Well, it runs on petroleum, and the petrodollar, I think, is a little bit different of a scenario, which I'd like to get into at some point. But yeah, it runs on oil and gas, and that's one of the main components of Trump's financial plans, is to reduce the energy costs so that everything else can flourish. Because if energy costs are down, everything else can do. Now, at the behest of some of my oil and gas friends, they're not very happy about it, but you know, quite frankly, if oil could stay at around $70 a barrel, they can still make some money. There can be some exploration still happening here in Montana, North Dakota, and some activity that's good for economic development. But you know, this might be a good time to talk about it. I want to segue into Trump's, I think it's called Trump's Pax Americana. You look at what Trump's doing within the Western Hemisphere and the shoring up the financial assets, the rare earth minerals. Look at what's going on in Venezuela. Sure, there's drugs being trafficked, but it's a much larger topic than that.
Oh yeah,
it's you know, a lot of people are calling it the Monroe Doctrine 2.0. I'm trying to coin this firm, so it's the Trump's Pax Americana. He is trying to set up a new world economic order and position to where America can be self-sustained, self-sufficient. America is one of the only nations in the world that can do so. We have the intercoastal waterways inside of the nations where we can ship commodities, we can ship products, we have all the natural resources that we need, we have the agriculture. America is one of those very unique nations in the world that has protected waters on both sides of it, and you have tundra to the north, and you have desert to the south, to where we are completely isolated. The only persons that can invade us are ourselves and allowing us to be destroyed. But I think Trump's vision, particularly to do with what the BRICS are, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, their new establishment of a financial order to compete against the U.S.'s petrodollar, where you mentioned, to where the U.S. has dominance over the entire financial world. They're trying to create a competitive alternative to it. They released a couple months ago a thing called the Unit, where it's new. It's a competitive issue going into SWIFT. SWIFT is what is the inner exchange for dollars and transactions, where you either have to sit on treasuries in order to do this, U.S. treasuries, and that's where the petrodollar comes from. This is why these nations need the petrodollar, so that in order to buy and sell oil and gas, you need to have large stockpiles of U.S. treasuries, because it's the only recognized currency that's out there that people will recognize and do it. Well, the BRICS are setting up their own version, and it's 40% backed gold. I could get the numbers right. It's either 40% backed gold or 60% backed gold, and the other is a basket of currencies of these other nations, so that they're able to do more than just unilateral. Because when Russia sold India a bunch of oil, India paid Russia in rubles or rubies. They didn't have, and Russia has no need for these Indian dollars. And so they have to find some other way to do it. So this mechanism allows them to do more free trading as opposed to unilateral one-on-one trading. And a lot of this stemmed from the Biden administration's sanctions that he put on the Russians after they invaded Ukraine. And so getting back to where Trump is, Trump has this huge monumental task ahead of him. And there's an author called Peter Zion. He wrote several books about 15 years ago, The End of the World is Just the Beginning. And it talks specifically about these subjects, about how America in the entire post-World War II era, the last 80 years that we've lived, is over. It does not exist anymore. And particularly when Trump 1.0 started, you could start seeing that transformation where America is not going to be the policeman of the rest of the world. America is not going to be the financial bailer outer of around the world. You're starting to see this shift to where America is going to be what it used to be back in the 19th century.
You know, there's another thing with Venezuela. I said right off the bat, right first strike on the first boat, I said, this is not about dope. Right? I mean, I knew it right away. I was in that business long enough to know the difference. And I think Marco Rubio played a huge portion in this and getting in Trump's ear about the whole thing in Venezuela because he's an expert on it.
The truth and nothing but. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Why do you think that we've gone from a purple state, Florida, and it is now a deep red state? And the same thing is happening. You look at this map, and I've got it here in front of me. Where are people moving to? They're moving to places like Nevada. They don't have a state income tax there. They have low taxes in Arizona. They have low taxes in Utah. And you see a massive net gain in Texas, for example. You know, if you look at where are money and people going? I mean, if you look at income losers and winners, a $1 trillion win for my free state of Florida. We don't have a state income tax. Half the property tax of New Jersey. We don't have high gas taxes. We don't have high sales taxes. We don't have any of this.
Keeping you on the straight path. Later today, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, with everything going on in the world right now, this is the perfect time to take a step back, give thanks for what matters the most, family, freedom, opportunity, the ability to take control of your financial future. And that is exactly why I want to tell you about something big. When you buy gold and silver through HannityGold.com, you'll get an extra 1% in free silver on qualified purchases from my friends over at GoldCo. If you protect $100,000 of your savings with precious metals, you normally get $10,000 in free silver or gold. This month only, you'll get $1,000 more. Now, this bonus has no limits. It's the strongest offer GoldCo has ever put out to date. It won't. So if you've been waiting for the right time, the right moment, this is it. Take control, help protect your savings, and give thanks. Call GoldCo at 855-815-GOLD or just go to HannityGold.com today. That's 855-815-G-O-L-D or HannityGold.com.
Fox Rocks. I'm Monica DeLuca. Harry Styles has released new music content for the first time in more than 2 years. The former member of One Direction gifted fans with an official video for Forever Forever, an instrumental song he debuted live on piano in Italy during his last concert on the Love on Tour in July 2023. The video is over 8 minutes long, filled with content from fans at his shows over the years. Taylor Swift's Life of a Showgirl album has reached number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart for the 11th non-consecutive week.
Oh, you don't know the life of a showgirl.
Life of a Showgirl matches the 11-week reigns of Swift's 1989 and Fearless albums. Only the Tortured Poets Department, with 17 weeks at number one last year, has more weeks atop the list. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
Start the new...
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah. And there we are. We've got some messages to get to right here. Let's see. We'll go in order here. We've got Christopher in Bozeman. He says, here's the kicker. He said he's a former resident, left Minnesota after Floyd. They'll reelect Walls and Ilhan Omar. Yep. Yeah, Chris, they will. Because, first of all, you won't get any kind of Republican nominee against those people that's going to be funded. So, yeah, and plus these people never learn. They'll just keep on doubling down. Whoever hands them out the biggest goodies, they're gonna re-vote back into office. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Let's see, we got Joe in Billings. Good morning. I hope and pray you're wrong regarding your prediction that conservatives are on the verge of sitting out the next election. One thing I know for absolute certainty, you sit out the next election, everyone loses. Yeah, it's our whole position on that is, you look back in the 60s, that's when the radical left took over their party. And they've done it ever since. And they've told all their representatives, you're going to get on board. You're going to get out. We have yet to do that as Republicans. Now, you know, Trump was the first step forward in that. But we have yet to take over our party and let them know that we are running this now. And we don't want any more of your uniparty nonsense. And I know Greg's got something to say about that.
Hey, Joe, so I want to point this out is that, you know, we're not saying that the conservatives aren't going to turn out. If you look back at the last two presidential elections, Trump received the most popular vote of any Republican candidate in all time. Even with what happened in 2020, Trump still exceeded massively their expectations. And you go into 16, I contend that there's voter fraud in 16. That's why they're so shocked when he actually won, because they didn't anticipate us turning out to vote. And they certainly didn't anticipate Trump resonating with people so well that it just people that have never voted before are finally going out there and vote. The problem is with the Trump voters is that they only turn out to vote with him. And I know that the White House, Susan Wiles, the chief of staff, she's saying that there's going to be a concerted effort by this administration to get out there and run 2026 as a camp presidential election cycle to where they're out there beating the drums. I anticipate Trump to be in Montana at least three or four times. You have Daines, you have Zinke, you have Downing up for reelection. And I think he's going to be spending a lot of time out there on the road shoring up support, raising money and capital. The issue is when I keep saying that we are the problem, is if we don't turn out to vote in this midterms elections, like we did in 18, like we did in 22, where if just our voters that voted for Trump turn out to vote, we win this hands down. No question. We win it so well. So the thing of it is it can't just be when Trump's at the head of the ticket, because he can't be at the head of the ticket anymore. We need to grow up and get our big boy pants on and say, okay, let's continue this Trump revolution and what Trump's vision for America is going to be, and let's get people elected that have the same viewpoints, or the people that are elected, hold them accountable to those viewpoints.
My message would be out there is, guys, if you don't, if we lose the House here at 26, which is looking very probable, if it's going to be, remember that absolute chaos Adam Schiff show that we dealt with for 2 years, you know, that Pelosi and her house, and it is nonstop investigations and subpoenas and impeachments. It is just utter chaos, because that's their whole thing that they think they can use to then win 28, is just throw a gigantic wrench into everything that Donald Trump is trying to do. If you want to live through that again, you know, then by all means, vote for a Democrat or stay home. But if you don't want to see that again, you got to vote for him.
I'm not convinced that we're going to lose this election in 26. I am not at all. I don't think that there's polling that was just done last week that shows that the Republicans have an advantage, the Democrat voters. And I'll tell you what, if the funding is stolen from the NGOs and these other nonprofits and stuff, I think Republicans stand a very solid chance.
Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take, but it gave my mom and me more time to plan together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it. I got the job. I can't believe it.
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project.
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations.
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.